This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
A week is a long time in politics, but the one thing that is for certain is that I don't think that in Europe we have been in such a precarious position in terms of what's going on for many, many, many years. We do need to find a way through the situation without invoking, getting ourselves into a third world war.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast, your go-to source for insightful discussions on local and national political matters. Join us as we take a deep dive into local government across the county. Find out what the key decision makers have to say, what your money is being spent on, and how the party's policies could affect how we live. Plus, don't miss our regular feature, Westminster Watch, where we dissect the latest developments and decisions shaping the political landscape in the heart of the UK's capital. Engage with us as we delve into the issues that matter to you and explore the dynamic world of politics from a Kent perspective.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast. In the week of business card is in for a big change. Medway Hospital gets a damning report and rural Kent braces itself for chaos. I'm Simon Finney, the local democracy reporter for covering Kent County Council, and I'm joined by Robert Boddy, who reports on Medway Council.
Hello.
And senior news editor Nikki White, who will be looking at what's going on at Westminster.
Hello.
And later on we'll be speaking to our special guest, County Councillor Gary Cook, who represents Maidstone South East for the Conservatives. Okay, Robert, what's been happening in Medway?
Well, after the budget was settled with no huge changes other than an additional £50,000 for V and VJ Day celebrations this year, it's back to business as usual and the return of a project which began all the way back in 2018. Innovation Park Medway, which is near Rochester Airport, was supposed to be a business park to attract employers and create 3,000 new jobs, dreamt up by the then Conservative administration. But this time last year, it still hadn't got off the ground and the new Labour administration decided to put the scheme on hold while they figured out what to do with it. Now they'd come back with some plans to proceed.
Okay, and what are they then?
The northern section of the site is to be changed from primarily office spaces to more of an industrial and what they call mid-tech, which is light industrial with some offices attached. This is due, the report says, to the changes in the office space market since the COVID pandemic, with people working from home more often. The larger change is on the southern section of the site, where this will now be used to build a 70-bed care home and 16 retirement properties. Listeners may remember a couple of weeks ago, Medway Council agreed to start working on creating its own care home on land owned by the council, but that no site had yet been chosen. However, it's not yet been confirmed if the care home on Innovation Park Medway will be the one run by the council.
Okay, so what's the reaction been to this?
Former Medway council leader Alan Jarrett, who led the Tory group when and was a portfolio holder responsible for the project, said the problems with Innovation Park Medway only started after Labour took over in May 2023 and said he didn't think the care home idea was the right approach for the site. The Labour administration, however, say that the tenants which were supposed to have moved in were not as certain as the Tories have made out, and the approach they've taken is making the best use of the site as possible.
Okay, thanks.
So, Simon, what have you been working on this week?
Well, my colleague Gabriel Morris and I spent a day this week working on the effect that a three-month road closure might have on some villages in rural Kent. There are some planned changes to the traffic light system at Holkers, which will use sensors to detect traffic congestion and sequence the changes to ease the worst of the jams that are being suffered there. And anyone who's been through Holkers will know exactly what I'm talking about. So it's been brought in as a result of house building in the area, and the developer, Dundara, is committed to the work, which starts on March the 31st as part of the planning consent. But it's causing a great deal of worry and anxiety in nearby Goudhurst.
Why are people getting so concerned?
Well, because Goudhurst really gets quite a lot of traffic. We're familiar with some of the pictures that we've seen in the past of big lorries getting stuck in the middle of it. But many people there now realise that a lot of the traffic that won't be going through Holkers will be going through Goudhurst instead. And Goudhurst already has horrendous problems with unsuitable HGVs trying to navigate their way around a rather difficult S-bend at the top end of the village near the church. So there've been, as I said, there've been some fairly famous images of two lorries getting stuck head on what was essentially a road built for the horse and cart. But this is a familiar story these days across the county.
So what's going to happen?
Well, the fear is that Goudhurst and other small communities will be deluged with traffic diverted away from Holkers. And what annoys the local councillors, including the Kent County Councillor Sean Holden, is that we're not given much information by the developer of the plans and when they were going to happen. Now, about a few weeks to go, but they're trying to find a way to ease the problems and speed up the work. So we'll have to wait and see. What's been happening at Westminster then, Nikki?
Well, health and the NHS are always going to be top, near the top of the agenda for our MPs. But this week, one of Kent's A&E departments has been thrust into the spotlight again. And surprise, surprise, it wasn't good news. Medway Maritime Hospital's emergency department has been downgraded by the Care Quality Commission from good, and it now requires improvement. The National Health Watchdog has also issued a warning notice to the Trust, saying it must focus on making specific improvements, including tackling the problems of overcrowding and treating patients in what it described as undesignated areas. Specifically, it highlighted long waits for patients, some of who were there being treated in corridors, which the CQC said was impacting on patients' privacy and dignity, leading to what it described as degrading situations. Now, the 31-page report said inspectors found frail patients were told to soil themselves as there was nobody to take them to the toilet, and one complained of sitting in faeces all day. One member of staff told the regulator they were so overwhelmed by overcrowding that they felt patient safety was being compromised. And inspectors also said that a member of the medical team was seen crying on the phone for help.
Doesn't sound great. What's the hospital been saying for itself then?
Well, what hasn't helped is that this visit by the CQC took place in February last year, so it's taken them 13 months to publish this report. Now, that's been blamed on an IT glitch. So Jane Black, who is the chief executive of Medway NHS Foundation Trust, they run the hospital, and she said that while they acknowledge shortfalls needed to be addressed, significant improvements have been made in that past year. She's highlighted a new multi-million pound 30-bed ward, which that opened last April, and that was for patients with serious breathing or heart conditions. And she also said there's been improvements on waiting times. So the Trust is now exceeding the national target to see, treat, discharge or admit patients within 4 hours. That rate was 78% throughout most of last year, and that's up from 66% in December 2023. She also said that while the report details examples where they had let patients down, it also recognised that many patients had had a good experience of the department, with staff described as compassionate and delivering care and treatment in a timely manner.
So how have the local MPs reacted to this?
Well, City Morning Sheppey MP Kevin McKenna, he was first off the mark. He said he was very concerned on hearing the findings and it had made very difficult reading. He said he was appalled by the conditions that patients and staff had been faced with and that nobody should have to wait for 50 plus hours without access to washing facilities and staff must be able to speak without fear of reprisals. He said he was also glad to hear that improvements were already being made and he continues to back calls to shift more care from hospitals and into the community. And that's already taken shape with the Community Diagnostic Centre and new beds on Sheppey. And that will help, in turn, will help ease pressure at Medway Hospital. And then on Wednesday, Gillingham and Raynham MP Nashaba Khan, she raised the matter at this week's PMQs. She also described the report as very concerning. And she asks Keir Starmer to outline what the government is going to do to urgently tackle the crisis, which is happening in the NHS as a whole. The Prime Minister said the government was investing £26 billion and the proposed reform plan would help cut waiting lists.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
After nearly three decades in local government, the Conservative Kent County Councillor Gary Cook is standing down for frontline local politics. Over the years, he's been a staunch advocate of the Leeds Langley Relief Road, our armed forces, as well as fostering and adoption. Hello, Gary. Thanks for joining us.
Simon, hi. It's nice to be with you.
Good. Thank you. Your background is that you were born in South London before your family moved down to Hildenborough in Kent. And on leaving a private Catholic school with five O-levels, you eventually made a name for yourself in the aviation insurance industry. So, you know, was that helpful when you decided to go into politics?
Do you know what? I've never really thought of it quite like that. I was kind of more involved with politics through the Young Conservatives in the early 1970s before I really sort of made a name for myself in the aviation insurance world. So I think maybe the aviation insurance world got the better deal out of it.
Okay. And why the Conservatives? I mean, was your family a political one?
Not particularly. It's like so many things. I was asked to go along by some friends who met in a pub on a Monday evening in Tunbridge many years ago. And there were some rather nice girls there at the same time. So it was a way of meeting, making new friends.
In more recent times, since becoming a county councillor and a bit more recently, a borough councillor. You've been banging the drum for a Leeds Langley bypass or relief road, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, seemingly sort of making the case for it, but never getting much movement. But that's sort of going into the absolute history of it. I mean, surely is, you know, the amount of house building increases and increases all the time over Kent. They're going to be, you know, there's going to be a need for loads of these different little sort of bypasses and sort of, you know, ways of getting around communities without getting all clogged up in the middle. I mean, why is it so difficult to get these things underway?
Well, I think the main reason is with something like a new road, there are a number of different hurdles that you have to get over. One is finding a route that there is consensus on, which I think is the biggest problem. But as congestion builds up over a period of time, you know, your options become more limited. And if we're talking about the Leeds Langley Relief Road, I started banging on this well before Sutton Road became as busy as it is.
That's the A274, which sort of rose to the
surface.
The Leeds Langley Relief Road would be a connection between the A274 and the A20. At the moment, there are, and for as long as I can remember, there's been principally two roads, one being Willington Street, and residents on Willington Street would say, well, you know, we take too much traffic as it is, and they've got huge problems now with new developments in and around Downswood and the traffic and the new sets of traffic lights that are creating there. And then you've got the road through the village of Leeds and up to Langley, which is I don't need to tell you about it. You know it very, very well.
Well, I know because I live there, but that's
yeah, I know. I was aware. And that's just, you know, it's not designed, one, for the type of traffic that seems to think it's okay to thunder through the, you know, rural villages. And secondly, it's not designed for the quantity of traffic that goes past there. And I think that there is a huge need now for a third connecting road. Not as the leader of Maidstone Borough Council said in a response to a question that he was asked at full council the other day, said, "Will roads generate traffic?" Roads don't generate traffic. It's people in their cars that generate the traffic. And when you build and build and build more houses, all of those houses come with more people and cars and a need for infrastructure. And it's not just about roads. It's about doctors' surgeries. It's about dentists. It's about all the other things that add to the quality of life in a given area. So I'm very, very disappointed that we are where we are, and the administration at Maidstone Borough Council has chosen to drop the £1 million that was in the budget. And had been put in the budget by the previous administration with a view to developing the argument, and we were actually starting to make progress.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, part of the problem when both you, your party, and KCC were both in power, the two councils weren't communicating particularly well, and by the time you eventually kind of made progress, there was no money for anything. I mean, that's criminal, isn't it?
It's not desirable. Let me put it that way. I think it's not just that they weren't communicating. I think that there were different points of view.
Well, they definitely weren't communicating when the Liberal Democrats were still the largest party. Because I remember you held a large public meeting at one of the big hotels just outside Maidstone, and as a result of that, we identified, or everybody agreed, that the two sides weren't talking to each other particularly well. The Liberal Democrats running the council, the borough council, and the Tories who were running the Kent County Council, and the two MPs, the two Helens, Helen Whateley and Helen Grant, decided that they would become the sort of intermediaries, that they would sort of act as the path smoothers between the two, getting together and coming up with an idea that would make this wonderful plan happened. I think that was about 8 years ago. And we never really got an update from either of the Helens about how that was going, because that really sort of said it all for itself. So we're talking about something which is going, you know, we're dipping our toe into the history. But it kind of brings me on to devolution. I mean, devolution should, in theory, remove many of those sort of obstacles to get these projects going, and the money, or, you know, a proportion of the money. But surely that won't happen if there is no money. Do you support devolution on that level?
Let's be clear about what we're talking about when we start to discuss the devolution and what is being proposed as a result of the government's white paper that came out just before Christmas. And there's two elements to it. There is what's called devolution, but that's creating a mayoralty and a county mayoralty at an upper level. And that's a strategic level. And that's maybe would be a very good thing, because the argument on that basis is that would...
I think a point about devolution I'm making was it brought in the abolition of the councils, the introduction of unitaries, and a mayoral thing. It's the whole thing that was proposed, right?
Well, but the main thing in terms of KCC and the borough councils and district councils, not parish or town councils, but those two tiers are both going to be abolished, and they're going to move into a unitary. That's local government reform. And then you've got the mayoralty that then comes in as a new level, which will focus on the what used to be done by KCC, and I thought would have been a really good thing to go back to. And it would, and I know I'm not supposed to mention history, but it's something that's in the history books now. And that was the old Kent structure plan, Kent and Medway structure plan, I might add as well. So I do see devolution and local government reform as something that is a good thing. I think it will benefit residents, but I do also take the point that I think residents have to have a real say in what it is that they want. So it is done with and not done to.
Okay. But the white paper was pretty plain that every council will eventually, you know, come to heel. I mean, there was no two ways about it.
No, it was, and it wasn't a question of being, there was extra money if you were, which would have benefited residents and benefited Kent as a whole. There was extra money if you were put on the priority plan.
Mm.
We were one of the few county councils and the only county council in the southeast that's having elections this year that wasn't. So we're having elections and nobody else is, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, why do you think that Kent was left off the government's fast track devolution program?
I'm sure that somewhere along the line, there is a very subtle political reason in the mind of the minister, but I'm at a loss to understand it, because if you're going to give it to Essex, you're going to give it to Sussex, you're going to give it to Surrey. It makes no sense at all not to give it to Kent as well.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you've got a Conservative controlled authority and a Labour controlled authority in Medway, and they were both working together on this in a positive way. And I think it's a shame. But at the end of the day, you're absolutely right, Simon. It's not going to make any difference to the outcome, because we don't really have a say in this. The government have decided what's going to happen. It's merely a question of slightly different timescales if you're not in the
first tranche. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Your leader, Roger Gough, he's clearly very annoyed by it. Do you share that frustration with him, the frustration he's displayed?
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed mainly because I think the extra money and the extra resource that is available would have benefited Kent residents. And I think that's why my colleagues and myself were supporting Roger, and not just supporting Roger, but also Vince Maple as well, in pursuing that option.
Before Kent put his application in, it may well have been had the nod from someone in government, or say, you know, we should look fairly favourably. But then when it actually happened, more counties in England actually applied to be in that first tranche than was perhaps first anticipated, and were perhaps able to put a better or more easily introduced application than Kent was. Do you think that could have been part of it?
Look, I think there's some issues around size and scale. And obviously, Kent and Medway, when combined, represents probably one of the, would have represented one of the largest areas in population. And so there are some challenges in putting together something on the sort of time scales. But don't forget, what we have to remember is that's not the unitary element of what this was, purely to create a mayoralty, which would have largely been created from devolved powers coming from central government.
And then it would sit above the unitaries, which would be brought in eventually. That was the,
absolutely. Yeah. So could it be what you said? Yes, it could be. But I don't see that as a justification because, frankly, at the end of the day, we're all swimming in the same direction. Mm. The objective was to create a county mayor in the same way that London has its mayor and Birmingham has its mayor and Manchester has its mayor. Now, they're introducing a mayor for Kent, which would have covered nearly around 2 million people.
Yeah, it's a small country, really, isn't it? You lead politics at a time when KCC will be contesting elections this May, and you're a veteran of fighting many elections, and mostly successfully as well. But Reform UK is on the rise. How big an impact do you think Reform will have on the results in KCC elections?
They will definitely have an impact. There's no doubt about that. The extent of that impact, we will have to wait and see. I think the Conservatives, my estimation is that, on the 2nd of May, the Conservatives will probably still be the largest single party, but will maybe struggle to have an overall majority in the way that we have in the past.
Okay. Well, what if the second biggest party is Reform? Would you try and deal with Reform?
Well, as you've pointed out, I won't be there because I'm not standing.
You know what I mean.
But personally, I think I'd certainly have a conversation with them. I think not to have a conversation would be silly. And it will depend on the numbers. If you go back to, I think it was 2013, when UKIP...
Yeah, 2013, yeah.
Came in, and they had a sizable... They were the second largest party themselves. We still just had an overall majority. Most of if I cast my mind back, most of the votes and the way that the votes went, that UKIP pretty well voted most of the time with the Conservative Party and what the administration was proposing. Now, occasionally there were some things that they wanted, which was, and actually we normally found a way to work collegiately. So I would see, is there a potential for a deal between Reform and the Conservatives? Well, I think there's more likely to be a deal between the Conservatives and Reform than there is Liberal Democrats or Labour. We'll wait and see. I think that it's going to be a difficult election for the Conservative Party, but it's not going to be quite as bad as everybody was predicting.
If the Tories do lose control of KCC, do you think Roger Gough would... go on as leader in opposition?
There are a lot of established members who are standing down from the Conservative group. I think there is a style that is best suited to being the leader of the council, and then there is a skill set that is somewhat different that is required if you're not going to be the leader, but you're going to be the in opposition. I don't see the Conservative Party being in opposition as such following the election, although, all options are possible. I think it's probably unlikely that Roger would stand down. And I think given the number of newly elected councillors that will be coming in to form an authority that has a very, very time-limited existence before we move up back to what we were just talking about, which was the devolution, and KCC will disappear into that new upper tier and part of the unitaries that are formed as a second tier. So I think to have somebody with Roger's experience, knowledge and background providing that measure of leadership would probably be a very good thing.
Local politics has been a pretty huge part of your life, especially in your working retirement, if you like. How are you going to fill your days from now on?
That's a good question. I mean, the honest answer is it's going to depend on my health and what I'm physically able to do. I'm actually stepping down largely because just more recently had some health issues and they've left me not quite as robust and fit as I was before. So it was kind of seems like a good time to step aside. There's a lot of changes coming with devolution and
a lot of stress.
Yeah. So I've been offered some opportunities to work with organizations that represent reservists and cadets. I'm going to continue to work closely with friends, and they are friends these days at the Royal British Legion. And actually, I'm going to do some. I think what I'm going to do is offer myself and help out with things like listening to children doing their reading. Mm. And basically, it will be timed around what I'm physically able to do, rather than a commitment to what, as a KCC councillor for me, has been essentially a full-time job for the last 16 years.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realise just how much time and how much effort and commitment and hard work needs to go into doing the job properly. I mean, you know, it's often been said that anybody can do a job badly. To do it well, you have to give it a certain amount of commitment, and there is, and a lot of guys in the chamber today on all sides have got full time jobs, but I would say probably the majority of them don't actually, because it's about the only way you can have the time to do it.
Well, I think that's right. I think one of the problems I've had, which is another reason why I'm decided not to stand, was that I became aware that my health issues was starting to affect my ability to actually be as an effective and as a good councillor as I think the people of Maidstone South East absolutely deserve. And is, you know, it's been a real honour. I've really enjoyed working with all of the different sort of communities and residents that I've worked with over the 16 years. It's been great fun.
Well, as you look back on your life and you look back on the state of the world, I mean, how does it make you feel these days?
There's an old saying in politics that when things aren't going as well as you would like to them on the home front, you turn to foreign affairs. So, maybe that's why Keir Starmer is focusing so much of his attention at the moment on trying to create a bridge between the United States and Europe. A week is a long time in politics, but the one thing that is for certain is that I don't think that in Europe we have been in such a precarious position in terms of what's going on for many, many, many years. We do need to find a way through the situation without invoking, getting ourselves into a third world war, which frankly, if things went badly wrong, is not off, it's not an impossibility. So I do worry very greatly about what lies ahead.
Yeah. I think you're not the only one. Listen, Gary Cook, listen, thank you very much indeed for your time today. You know, we've known each other a long time, and I'm sure I'll see you about the place. I can't believe you're actually going to give it all up. Anyway, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Simon. It's good speaking with you.
Nikki, you were talking earlier about the A&E report from the hospital. I have to ask the question, what's to be done with the NHS?
I wish I had the answer. I mean, if it was an easy fix, it would have been done by now, wouldn't it? But it hasn't, and it's clearly going to need someone to make a big, bold move. I mean, I believe that pretty much everyone who works in the NHS cares, and they want it to work and they want it to succeed. And I would guess pretty much everyone in the country feels that way as well. Yeah. We had Dr. Julian Spinks on the podcast a few months ago, and he was saying a lot of the criticism is that the NHS has too many managers, but you need those managers to deal with the bureaucracy. And he said until the politicians got their act together and had a long-term, well-funded strategy, we're going to have winter crisis after winter crisis. And I agree with that. I mean, while on some occasions people's care isn't good enough and that does need addressing, a big problem is the bureaucracy. I mean, personally, I've had great NHS care, but I've also had problems with it as well. I mean, I've sought physio privately because I just couldn't bear the year-long wait with a dodgy knee. And so I was fortunate enough that I could put my hand in my pocket and pay out for some private care. I mean, when my dad was seriously ill, I pushed him myself from one ward in Medway Maritime to another because there wasn't a porter available and nobody else seemed to be able to get his folder of paperwork from one floor to the next. It wasn't necessarily his care, but it was the bureaucracy around it. Yeah,
and the bureaucracy around it. Do you think it's because when people, when new governments come in, they don't have the time, they don't have the bandwidth, they don't have the resources or even the willingness to take, you know, NHS reform on. It's almost like you've got to dismantle the whole thing and start again.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big, scary thing. I mean, I know that we've put these people in place and elected them in because we want them to do this job and they have taken on this job, but it's going to be huge. We know that it's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we get complaints into the newsroom and some of them report on, some of them we don't anymore. I mean, I was just talking to a colleague today. He had to visit a Kent A&E a couple of weeks ago, and there was at least a dozen people, and he had to queue for 30 minutes before they were even able to speak to somebody on reception. Now, to have people queuing out the door of an A&E department is appalling.
Before you become a statistic.
And that's the point. Yeah, you know, you're not even showing on those official wait times for half an hour. I mean, I love the NHS, but somebody's got to fix it, and it is going to need somebody who is big enough and brave enough to go, right, okay, we've got to think 5, 10, 15, 20 years into the future. It's going to take time. It's going to be worse than an oil tanker turning. But it needs a shake-up. Yeah. It absolutely does.
There's some talk of, could it be fixed by a Royal Commission if there was an agreement across party, Phil, that perhaps it could... you know, if all the parties could work together, then you could sort of set a generation aside for it to be done, 25 years, and see what comes out at the end of that. What do you reckon then, Rob?
I mean, certainly if that were possible, I think it would be a really excellent idea. Take it out of the sort of political arena and make it sort of a bipartisan thing that everyone sort of works.
Everyone has a stake in it.
Exactly. You know? The problem, of course, is political parties want to win elections. And if you agree on something, you know, it's not really a good talking point to fight one another on. So,
well, the NHS is nearly always, one of the top three election issues that each successive opposition has bashed the head of the government with.
Exactly. I mean, I think there was some report, it was maybe just before the 2019 election, and I think they did, it was in private eye, and they'd gone back and looked, and every single year in an election year, being like, this is the last chance to save the NHS from whichever party wasn't in power, you know. And I think that is probably the main barrier to major reform in the NHS, is the sense of, if there was no problem, no political problem in terms of with the public, but with other political parties, you could make these big changes. But it's the fact that they'll be unpopular is what puts political parties off doing them. For example, I think we've talked on here with Dr. Julian Spinks about the need for prevention rather than sort of responding to illness, and education would be a massive part of that. Now, we could do that. You know, it would probably take maybe a generation of investing in educating people about how to eat properly, how to exercise, all these different bits and bobs. But that would take a long time, and it would take a lot of money before we started to see the benefits of that. And that's just not fast enough for a political party to get the gains before the next election.
Yeah, because I mean, at best, you're going to win three parliaments with a decent enough majority to that's never going to be long enough.
And it's still long enough, no.
Okay, folks, that's it for this week. Next week, we'll be speaking to KCC Labour Group Leader Alistair Brady. And thanks to Rob and Nikki for their contributions. Don't forget to keep an eye on KentOnline.com/politics for the latest news from across the county. And you can also sign up for our newly launched Politics Briefing newsletter by visiting kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's Politics Show every Friday at 5 p.m. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.